Good afternoon, everyone. And as my colleague, Co-Chair Johnson, would say, with this gavel, I will call to order the meeting of the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development. Today is February 4th, 2016. And we have three items on our agenda today, a work session and two informational hearings. And lacking a quorum, I'm going to jump ahead to the informational hearings and thereby punish the people that are late rather than the people that came on time. And let's start with the Employment Department. Ms. Dyster, can you give us a quick overview of what we're going to be chatting about?
Certainly. Today, the Employment Department is coming before you with two reports that were recommended as part of the Legislative Fiscal Office recommendation on their budget. These recommendations to report back were not as formal as a budget note, therefore they don't need to go to the full committee, but it is their way of checking in and satisfying that request for information that we made. So the first item, if we're taking these in the order of the agenda, is an update on their information technology modernization efforts. And you will see that we've got materials posted on OLIS, which includes their report in the form of a letter, as well as the LFO analysis regarding how much has been spent to date and kind of what the next steps are going to be. And they're here to
excellent. Talk. Well, then I'll welcome to the table Acting Director Erickson and Mr. Truex. Ms. Erickson, welcome. Welcome to this new position. You've been on board since
January 6th.
January 6th, so about a month.
About a month.
Well, we're pleased to have you with us this afternoon. How would you like to proceed?
Co-Chair Gomberg and members of the committee, good afternoon. My name is Kay Erickson. I'm the Acting Director of the Oregon Employment Department. And I'd like to introduce also Bill Truex, the department's Chief Information Officer. And to his right, Michelle Lisper from the Department of Administrative Services, the Chief Financial Office. So we are here today at your request to provide progress updates on two efforts underway at the department. First on your agenda is a report on the status of our modernization efforts to modernize business and our technology infrastructure. The second report is related to our efforts to improve customer access to our services. So as you know, the mission of the Oregon Employment Department is simple but broad: to support business and promote employment. We have three core functions: unemployment insurance, including the collection of employer taxes and the administration of workers' benefits, as a key partner in the support and development of the state's workforce system, helping businesses and job seekers to connect, and finally to gather, research, and analyze Oregon employment-related data in support of policy and decision makers across the state. As you know, the needs of business partners and job seekers change over time, and advances in technology have reset all of our expectations about how to interact with information and really the world at large. There's pressure for us to adapt our business practices, environments, and data systems in response. And with your permission, I will ask Bill to provide the status report on our ongoing efforts to modernize our business services and technology infrastructure.
Well, thank you, Mr. Truex. And if you could identify yourself for the record.
So, Co-Chair Gomberg, members of the committee, my name is Bill Truex. I'm the Chief Information Officer for the Oregon Employment Department. So our approach to modernization considers first and foremost the needs of our customers. As Director Erickson mentioned, the needs of job seekers, businesses, and other business partners have changed over time and will continue to change. Our systems have adapted as possible, but limitations in our infrastructure and code base have created both business and IT processes that require workarounds with a high level of staff intervention just to maintain ongoing business. Within the initial planning phase, we plan to evaluate all options, taking into consideration how other states have approached employment modernization. We'll look at their systems, their experiences and the outcomes that they have achieved. We'll also be evaluating currently available commercial off-the-shelf solutions to ensure we're taking all options into account. Also, enterprise architecture is a component of this process for modernization, and we released a request for proposal in November of 2015, for which we received no bidders. So we are now working closely with the Legislative Fiscal Office and the Office of the State CIO to rescope our enterprise architecture project to get it back on track and moving forward.
Excuse me, Mr. Trex. Yes, Representative.
Could you describe enterprise architecture, what you're talking about when you say that? Since nobody out there, I think they're probably having a hard time understanding what it is since you didn't get any bids to do that. So maybe you could explain that to us and we can go from there.
Co-Chair Gomberg, Representative Whitsitt, enterprise architecture is really an analysis of business processes and the supporting IT infrastructure for our as-is, where we stand today. And then you begin to analyze that and take it forward to determine what your future business processes should be and what the supporting IT infrastructure needs to be to support those business processes.
Okay, if I may follow up. Do you think the reason you didn't have any bidders is because people didn't understand what you want, what you're looking for? I mean, I'm still not entirely clear what it is that you're after there with that term or terminology. What do you want to accomplish from that, and why do you think nobody bid on doing this?
So, Representative Whitsitt, what we want to accomplish with that is to gain a complete understanding of our current business processes, how they affect and impact one another. These are complicated systems that we have in place in order to produce what we need to produce for the agency. And so it's to gain a deep understanding of what we need to do from a process-based perspective and ensure that we have all of those items covered as we look to make changes. So it's a documentation and an analysis process.
If I may, Representative
Please, Director.
Gomberg and Representative Whitsitt, enterprise architecture is somewhat of a term of art. I think in the information technology community that would be responding to this request, they would have a deeper understanding of that language and the meaning behind it. It's my understanding the reason we didn't receive any bids is that the scope of the original request was too large, really.
That helps, thank you.
All right, thank you. Let's continue then.
Better late than never.
So,
and just if I can interrupt you for a second, Senators, we took the informational hearing first, and we're talking about the IT modernization update from the Employment Division.
Thank you. We apologize for being late.
We understand how the conflicts are running fast and furiously in this building, and if we had three clones each, we would still be missing two meetings. Mr. Troy.
Thank you. So our agency has established several key foundational elements, components to support our modernization program thus far. This includes establishment of our project management office, our IT governance capacity, and our steering committee, and also contracting with a dedicated modernization project manager. We have had and will continue to have ongoing conversations and collaboration with the Department of Revenue, Department of Motor Vehicles, and the Department of Justice on their ongoing modernization efforts and using their experiences as lessons learned to help us achieve better outcomes as we head down this planning and modernization process. So most recently, we created and submitted documentation to the Office of the State CIO for Stage Gate 1 approval in their Stage Gate process. We're also nearing completion of our visioning process, The visioning process is a process in which the steering committee determines what is in scope for modernization and what our primary objectives are for modernization.
Mr. Chair.
Please, Senator.
It has been my experience in watching some of these projects unfold that the visioning piece of this is sometimes the most problematic. Who's at the table? Who got input into the process? That old joke, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. So who all you're including, and you haven't heard that before, you need to get out more, Representative Whitman.
That's an old one.
But it's, so could you elaborate a little bit? Who is the appointing authority? How wide is the net swung?
The appointing authority was the director's office. And it includes leadership from all of the main business lines that the employment agency has, which includes the unemployment insurance group, the research group, and the business and employment services group, as well as membership from the supporting departments and areas such as HR, IT, and facilities.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Please.
I don't mean to dwell on the past, but you've had a change of leadership. Has somebody refreshed that list to make sure that I presume they were appointed under the last administration? Do they reflect the new administration? I just want to make sure that you've got the right folks in the room.
Co-Chair Johnson, Co-Chair Gomberg, members, yes, they are the right people. The directors for each of our business lines are represented. So our core systems include unemployment, insurance, benefits, and tax collection. We have ancillary systems that the workforce centers use to access benefits. So there are many systems, really, that we're replacing. We're not just modernizing, you know, a IT system. There are many subsystems. And prior to your arrival, we talked about also working with our partners at the Department of Revenue, who have recently undergone a similar effort. Okay. Also, Department of Justice and others.
I really don't need to know every single name. You're the director. If you've thought about it, if you feel as though you've got a representative cross-section of people who need to buy in to this final work product in order to make the business case, I'm not here to second guess who it is. I just want some articulation of the fact that you've thought about it, you recognize there's a change of administration, and you recognize how foundational and critical that visioning is. I hate that word if it's not obvious.
Co-Chair Johnson, Co-Chair Gomberg, absolutely.
Cool.
I do.
Representative Witt. Oh, I'm sorry. What's it? I saw a hand move over here. That's fine. Wasn't sure whose it was.
Maybe I missed the day that you talked about. What is stage gate? You know, we're looking at these words, and I don't know what that refers to. And you've got one and two, and what is that all about?
If I may.
Yeah.
Representative Gomberg, Representative Whitsitt, the stage gate review process is a mutually agreed upon process between the legislative fiscal office, IT folks, and the state CIO's process, state CIO's office. And basically, it's a series of reporting and data collection and steps that an agency has to go through to get approvals at different phases of the project. The first is to create a business case. Once those information is collected to satisfaction, then it would move to sort of more of a funding stage where you would likely see more details, and then implementation is stage gate three.
That's really helpful. Thank you.
All right, very good. Other questions from anyone? Let's continue.
So looking forward, our next steps are to work with the Office of the State CIO and Legislative Fiscal Office to continue to develop the business case and other artifacts that will go along with it, and develop those through the stage gate process, in which we anticipate being prepared in November of 2016 to complete procurement to bring a vendor on board to begin the feasibility study process. And this concludes my update, and thank you very much for the opportunity to make this presentation.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Truex. Any other questions on the IT modernization update? Well, then we'll jump ahead to the report on the remodel of the workforce centers. And again, Ms. Deister.
Okay. Co-chairs and representatives, you may recall from the 2015 regular session in the Employment Department's budget, there was $1.9 million in other funds expenditure limitation and one limited duration project manager position that was approved to facilitate remodeling of WorkSource centers. Originally, the department had requested a higher amount to enable all of the WorkSource centers to be remodeled, but we, the recommendation that you approved basically pared down the request, the amount of other funds recommended, contingent upon a progress report in February to see how many WorkSource centers they were able to get remodeled, and to also sort of see how that process was going, whether or not all 25, 26 centers that were envisioned could reasonably be completed by the end of the biennium, et cetera, with the thought that if additional expenditure limitation was needed, it could be allocated in the February session after this update. I think, as you will hear, not to steal their thunder, but the Employment Department actually has managed to progress a little bit faster than their legislative fiscal office analyst had anticipated, and probably will not be seeking additional expenditure limitation for this effort. They currently have realized some savings to date that will enable them to remodel all remaining targeted WorkSource centers within the $1.9 million other funds expenditure limitation that was originally granted. But I will let them tell you about that, and you can see some before and after pictures as well as what those remodeling efforts are intended to accomplish.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Teister. And Ms. Erickson, welcome back.
Thank you. Co-Chair Gomberg, Co-Chair Johnson, members of the committee, again, my name is Kay Erickson. I'm the Acting Director of the Oregon Employment Department. I'd like to introduce to you Jim Farr, the Division Director of Workforce Operations, and again to his right, Michelle Lisper from the Department of Administrative Services, Chief Financial Office. The second item we have for you today, as Ms. Deister so eloquently introduced, is a status update on a project to improve customer flow and service access at our WorkSource centers. And with that, I'll turn it over to Jim.
Co-Chair Gomberg, Co-Chair Johnson, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jim Farr, Workforce Division Director for the Oregon Employment Department. As you can see, the workforce system has many agencies involved. We work really hard to make sure that we align our resources, and then we take those resources and they go down to the local level, which the board is also the representative that keeps those resources in line and service delivery together with all the workforce partners. We've been working really hard to make sure we align those services so it's seamless to the customer that needs those services. Workforce operations services, we provide reemployment eligibility assistance to people who are unemployed. We also work with businesses to customize their recruitments as they need job seekers or individuals to work. We also align our services to the WorkSource Oregon standards. Those standards are minimum standards, and across the state we have implemented those last July. And what I mean by a minimum standard is that if I walked into the Klamath Falls office, I'd get the same minimum standards as if I walked into a Portland office. We try to do this so that we align our services throughout the entire state so that customers coming through can get the same services. And we did this through an integrated effort with our partners. We also deliver multiple federal programs as well through our system. As you can see in this map, this kind of gives you an idea where our WorkSource centers are. We currently, most of our centers are integrated with partners. We're working towards, part of this remodel is to help us get to that, the rest of them, so that we can bring other workforce partners involved into the WorkSource centers so that we can have multiple partners within these centers.
Senator Johnson.
For those of us that represent more rural places, and I'm thinking particularly of my colleague Senator Hansel, who represents practically all of that great big yellow spot over there on the far left or right-hand side, how do you... I'm not advocating for a work source center in everybody's backyard, but how do you deal with these great distances and bad local transit systems and people who can't afford a vehicle because they can't afford it? I mean, they don't have a job. Talk a little bit about folks who are not huddled up right next to one of these centers.
So, Co-Chair Gomberg, Co-Chair Johnson, member of the committee, what we do is we look at technology, and one of the things in those standards is that we're looking at technology and how can we reach job seekers who are in remote areas that we can deliver those services remotely and not through technology, through, you know, Skyping and those types of things. And so those are things that we're looking at currently right now, but we try to do some outreach. So if we have areas that do need services in remote areas, we do send staff to those areas. You know, maybe it's a public library, places that we can go to that we can actually do some outreach. We currently do that in some of the remote areas where we provide those services. An example would be like Lakeview. We don't have a work source center in Lakeview, but we do provide services out there in that remote area.
If you're going to do a remote visit, how well do you publicize it? Do you let the local legislators know that you're coming? Because they all have newsletters. They have the ability to attract the press. My point is, and I say this to every state agency, if you're in my district, I want to know about it. I may not choose to come, but there are some times that I can be extraordinarily helpful in pushing people towards the services that you're offering. And so I just didn't know what kind of outreach. You take ads in the paper? Do you get on the radio? How do you let folks know that you're going to be there?
So we do some PSAs where we do some public service announcements that when we're in different areas. We do some publications that we maybe some mailings that we'll do to let people know that we are in areas. We do in areas that people may go into, public areas, we'll put notices up that we may be in that area on these certain dates during these certain times and where we're located so that the public would know.
I just haven't quite beaten this to death, so I'm going to take one more stab at it. For every one of those meetings, I hope you would put on the filter of somebody who's unemployed in a far distant region who does not get up first thing in the morning and look at your website. I get so sick of agencies saying, well, we put it on our website. Many of us don't get up first thing in the morning and peruse DSL's website. I hate to disappoint them. But I just would like you to always be mindful of the fact that the very people you provide the deepest, greatest, most beneficial service to are frequently the people that do not have the tools to get to you if you are expecting them to be self-starters. To think outside the box of how you get those folks to come down to the library and sit with one of your counselors person to person and go through the options.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. So anyway, so this is, like I said, the map kind of shows where we have local offices and where we're integrating with our partners and then moving forward. So the work source center renovation, basically, it's improving work source... It's improving the way we deliver our services in a more customer-centric model. It's pulling staff, and I'll show you pictures in a little bit later, but it's pulling the staff out into the resource room, out into the lobby, to help those individuals that are coming through in a more customer-centric model instead of hiding behind walls and serving that customer in a quicker way. Our goal is on our work source standards is that we would meet a customer within 1 minute, and then we actually see that person within that 15 minutes. We got examples of where we're actually greeting a customer within seconds. One office actually, it's a large office, is greeting customers within 7 seconds and is actually meeting with that customer one-on-one within 8 minutes, 8 to 10 minutes. So we're noticing as we've done these remodels that's kind of showing we can actually get staff out and greeting that customer quicker. Initially, we're going to do the 8 offices that we asked to do that was approved. But I like to say we actually completed 12. within our $1.9 million that was allotted that we were supposed to do within the budget. And as you can see, we did offices throughout the entire state. We did some small offices to metropolitan larger offices. We started in July of 2015, and the last one we just completed was up in the North Portland end of January of 16. So these are some pictures of some local centers. This is a picture of their Grants Pass office. If you look at the top left, there's actually a door with a wall. That's actually behind that wall is staff. On the other side of that wall is where the customers were. The bottom left actually is in the back of that building where the staff normally would have been sitting. And you can see towards the front, the open where the front door is to where customers walk through, it is now completely open. In the bottom right kind of shows where staff and customers are sitting. So we basically have the staff sitting around where the customers are and walking around where customers would be. Next one is Clamp Falls. There again, you can see where the front counter sits there. That's gone. There isn't a front counter anymore. The two right pictures on the right-hand side show that that counter is no longer there. There isn't a wall there anymore. It's all open. So when the customer walks in, it's an inviting for them to, when they walk in, they don't just see a wall or have this counter sitting in front of them. It's actually a staff member that's greeting them. This is the Pendleton office, and this one is a little harder to see, but to the right of the door that you're looking in on the left picture, that is actually where the customer used to sit back in a cove back in there. The staff were to the left, completely separated from the customer. When the customer walked in, they basically went to a counter, and then they were sent over to this little cove back in the off to the side. As you can see on the bottom two pictures, that is now completely open. The staff are in with the customer, and then vice versa, the customer is in with the staff. And so the staff are walking around with the customer serving them. Also, just to note, in some of these remodels, we're trying to make these not so governmentalized offices. So we've done some painting. We replaced carpet where needed. Some of these offices have, the carpeting has been in there for many, many years. And so we replaced carpet where needed. And then the painting as well to kind of modernize it a little bit as well. So this is kind of a budget summary. As you can see on phase one, we spent roughly estimated about $1.9 million. We're asking for the rest of the $3.6 million to finish 17 local WorkSource centers, and they're listed there as the ones that we would like to finish and complete. Yeah, we would like to do this within the 15-7 approved budget.
I have a question.
Yes, Representative.
So you spent 1.9 to do 12, and you went an additional 3.6 to do 19?
Not asking.
So, Representative Gallenberg, Representative, what's it? It's actually 17, and the reason that we're asking is the ones that are left are going to need more construction costs to them. And, but we're not asking, I guess is what I should say. Sorry. We're wanting to spend the rest of the, what was the allocation that we were given. But the reason it's costing more is because of there's more construction costs, and then we got some that are in more remote areas, which costs for travel and stuff.
So if I may, Co-Chair Gomberg and
yes,
Representative
Director.
Whitsett. So we started this effort by working through what were the easier remodels so that we would get a sense of the timing and cost to finish, a remodel. And the coming remodels are a little bit more complicated than the first ones. So the cost per center will go up some. And just to reiterate, we intend to finish the remodels within our already approved legislative limitation. So we're not asking for anything additional.
All right. Thank you for that. And, I heard you talking about, well, certainly the pictures are worth many thousands of words in terms of the openness and the inviting nature of the office. I heard you talk about response times and greeting people and having access to them. My question is, at the end of the day, are more people coming in the door?
So, Representative Gomberg, yes, we are seeing an increase of folks. And And it's not just the increase, but it's the inviting environment. We've had comments from customers that are actually saying that they appreciate the open environment. It's more inviting to them. They don't feel like they're intimidated when they walk in and see the wall. So I think just that alone, the word of mouth, where people understand that, that you know, it's more inviting, they're actually getting served quicker, it's better services, that I think that you know more people will hear and start coming in more. But we are seeing an increase of customers coming in.
And
that could be many different factors as well, too.
Talk to me a little about repeat visits. I mean, obviously, if we're successful, people are going to come once, solve the problem, and go away. But that's not always the case, unfortunately. So are people coming back with greater frequency, given the changes that you've made?
Representative Gomberg, I don't have any data for that right at this moment in time. You know, we just completed the last one in end of January. What I'm hoping is that, you know, within the next 6 months, as, you know, we've gotten these done, that we can start running some data on, you know, is this really helping people getting jobs quicker? Are we seeing a repeat of customers coming through as is due to the remodel?
All right, thanks. Any other questions? Where are we at?
That's it. Thank you.
All right. Well, we've asked questions. I'll ask again. Committee, or any questions for Mr. Fuller? Any questions for Acting Director Erickson?
So I just wanted to make one comment. We are going to be doing some open houses, and I would encourage, even if we would be inviting everybody to that, but I would encourage you, if you have the time, to actually come and see these work center centers, you know, on hand, to see what they really look like and the customer flow and how that works.
Senator Hansel.
I'd certainly, if you haven't had it in Pendleton yet, I'd like to come to the open house there.
Yeah, Co-Chair Gomberg and Senator Hansel, we haven't had the open houses yet, but we are going to. We wanted to kind of get them done and then make sure that we were consistent on what we did with the open houses, so we will definitely make sure.
Thank you.
Senator Johnson.
Could you be kind enough to send us the schedule?
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and we appreciate those two updates. I'm going to go ahead and close the informational meeting. Ms. Dystra, I'm not sure I actually gaveled the informational meeting in, but
that's
here,
great.
Just that way we're all caught up.
I don't remember. My short-term memory
sure, it's
gone.
An even number.
And I'm going to open the work session on the real estate agency fee ratification. Again, Ms. Dystra.
Okay. Co-chairs and members of the committee, the Oregon Real Estate Agency is coming before you today to ask your recommendation to recommend to the full committee that a fee that they are imposing in the interim be ratified and included in the fee ratification bill that will be going before the full committee on Ways and Means. This particular fee has to do with what they call their land development section, and it is basically review of plans for condominiums. The fee is increasing from about $40 to about $200 per hour because of recent analysis that indicates that's the actual amount that's needed to recover the costs associated with the land development program. In the past, I believe that other portions of the agency's licensees were subsidizing that particular review process, and they're seeking to rectify that. This is the first the first fee that you are likely to see. The agency is actually going through a much larger process of looking at all of its licensing fees, and those others that are statutory will be presented in conjunction with its 2017 budget. So you will get an opportunity to take a look at those and approve those as well. But because this fee is mentioned in statute but actually set via rule, it's coming to you first to avoid confusion later and for expediency's
sake. We can have the confusion
well.
Now instead of later.
Senator hopefully
Johnson.
Not.
Senator Johnson.
Just before these guys start to talk, I want to put you on notice my interest. This is a proportionally monstrous increase, and my curiosity is how come? Mm-hmm. Why hadn't you looked at them sooner? Why were we selling below cost and making it up in volume? give us some talking points when we visit with our real estate professionals back home who may be affected by this.
Well, in that context, Mr. Hannafin, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, co-chairs Johnson and Gomberg. For the record, my name is Michael Hanif, and I am the Land Development Division Manager, and I am responsible for review and approval of condominium filings. To immediately address your question, co-chair Johnson, this fee hasn't, as was just mentioned, hasn't been looked at in quite a while. However,
how long is quite a while?
92.
Well, I can't say when it was last looked at, but it was last increased. Our best guess is 92. I found a record that had 92 on it, and it also had an earlier amount. So, but we don't have any formal record. That was just a document that had it in there as part of an invoice for a review. So that's best guess. Puts a tack on it. Co-Chair Johnson, you're quite familiar, I think, with the history of our agency in the recent past. There was sort of a house cleaning that was done not too long ago. I've only been with the agency for several years, so I'm not the authority on it. But there was a lot of effort that went into revising the culture of the agency to be more consumer-oriented and responsive. And so that takes a certain amount of energy and time on behalf of the staff, including the current commissioner and deputy commissioner who came on as part of that process. So with that said, and the amount of effort that goes into that, there has been ongoing statutory revisions. We've been cleaning things up, reorganizing, bringing the agency into the 21st century, and we have typically 29 FTE. So all of which I think just goes to say, why was it looked at? Well, we got there, it's late, I would agree with you. But there were other things going on that were, put the big fire out, then go see where it's smoking. This is, a niche in the agency. And what gets the most attention, obviously, are the licensees, of which, there are thousands. So,
Mr. Chair.
Senator.
Colleagues, in fairness to the agency, and despite the snarly tone of my question, I was around at ground zero when this agency augured in some years ago. My phone was ringing off the hook with respect to the maladroit management of this agency and its overt hostility to the people that it regulated. And I am willing to cut the current administration of the agency a lot of slack because they have righted the ship. And my unit of measurement is nobody has called me to complain about your agency in a really long time. Now, that may change if these fees are ratified. But the fact of the matter is that I think under the current administration, you have recognized an obligation to serve the Oregonians regulated by your agency. And I didn't want the members of the committee who weren't around when things were really, really hostile. We did a series of hearings around the state and filled rooms with people that wanted to come and bitch about the agency. And I'm very pleased to say that things have smoothed dramatically.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Yes, Representative.
Since I'm pretty new to all this, $200 an hour or $46 an hour, what does it cost for a typical developer? Say, we're in Klamath County. Mm-hmm. We're not Portland. We're not the Willamette Valley. We're sitting out in nowhere. What are we looking at as a cost for a typical project that's going to be charged $200 an hour?
Right.
How many hours to turn out everything that you need to give them?
Co-chairs, Representative Whitsitt, the short answer would be it depends, but I'm going to expand on that so you get a more satisfactory one. The typical filing we see is, I'm assuming we're talking about a residential one. They tend to be more detailed because they have not only the foundational documents, declaration, bylaws, plat, title report, resolutions of authority for members, if there's a corporation involved in creating, the structure of that. If that's commercial, that's all it is. But if it's residential, we give a disclosure statement. We issue that at the end of this process if they want to sell units, which means that we have to vet everything that's in that. So it just adds a little more time. The upshot is a typical residential filing, 4.5 to 5 hours. And if they're a good filer in the sense that they're experienced, they've done this before, it's not their first rodeo, and they have a good book of forms because it's all attorneys. If they have a good book of forms, 3. And if they're new or they're not working particularly hard at it, it can be 10. I've seen some where, in fact, this is one of the issues. This, the agency's been looking at overall the fee structure, who's paying for what, for a little while now, because we came out of the boom where we had a large reserve, and we've been spending that down because it was time to do that. And so we started looking at all the fees, anticipating, as we are, as was mentioned, that in the next biennium we're going to be requesting increases in fees. But at $46 an hour, I've ended up writing the work. What the law actually says is that I will give them chapter and verse. I will cite to statutes or subsections and tell them what's wrong with it. But at the end of the day, at $46 an hour, if you're an attorney and you're billing at $250 or $300, heck yeah, you get me to do it for you, right? Because at the end of that process, well, not only will it be good, right, it's going to have approval of the real estate agency. So it's kind of a no-brainer right now. I'll do whatever, is necessary, but it is a factor to consider that at this rate, it's a fire sale. Most attorneys are responsible. They do put forward a good product, but at the far extremes, there are occasions where I've had to, almost paragraph by paragraph correct something so that it winds up being a product that's going to be good for the consumer.
So, follow up?
Thank you. So does it vary by size? I'm just thinking of, you're putting in a high-rise condo thing in the Pearl District, and you're putting in a little thing in Klamath Falls. The guys in Portland get a steal, I assume, because they are going to have something that's of extreme value when they're done, and the guy in Klamath Falls is going to be lucky to, get something out there. So I guess I'm just saying that I'm not sure it's equitable for the really rural parts or someplace mm-hmm. on the coast, for example, versus the Pearl District or whatever. Portland's going great guns, the rest of the state is suffering, and I'm not sure that $200 an hour in a place like Lakeview or Klamath Falls or the coast is it's a deal, $200 an hour in downtown Portland. But, you go out there, people are, that hurts at $200 an hour. I'm just saying it's that we hurt out in the countryside, and it's nothing for the cities, but just a comment more than anything, I guess. Thanks.
Thank you. Other questions?
With that then, co-chairs, members of the committee, I do have a prepared statement I'd like to...
Please.
Okay. I'm just going to pick up... since we've already sort of summarized what's going on in terms of the fee change. The purpose of this proposed rule is to capture the entire cost of administering the condominium review and approval program expressed as an hourly fee. I'm going to deviate here for a moment. So we have the entire program cost bundled into this. And to sort of do a follow-on to your question, Co-Chair Johnson, regarding why so much, the other piece of this is it's not clear that when they set that fee, so many years ago, that they actually did sort of the full analysis. $46 an hour, just to give it as a point of comparison, I ran this as 24 years times 2.5 being sort of the average CPI over that period of time, and I'm not an expert, so I'm just saying the result was around $120, okay, which tells me what I'm inferring from that is that they weren't building into that program cost. But for every hour that we do review, we do 1 or 2 hours of other work. We set up the forms, we review that stuff, we talk to members of the public, including county surveyors, who are trying to figure out how these things should be read. We teach, right? I go out and I teach to the OASIS, which is the Oregon Association of Registered Engineers and Surveyors. They have, biannual meetings. Excuse me. Yes. And I'll go to these meetings and I'll train them up on how to read a condominium plat and the related declarations. So there's sort of a quality control piece here. There's a ton of counties, some of which in the rural areas may have never, the staff there may have never seen a condominium filing. And I think we have at least a couple of counties that have never had a condominium filing. So there's sort of a keeping things on course component to this. And in any event, so it's not an hour of my time to do a review. It's an hour which is a summation of what's it cost to do that hour review, including overhead. You know, it's not what I earn an hour. What does it cost to employ me for an hour? Plus overhead and related expenses. So I hope that was helpful. The proposed fee, it has been vetted with stakeholders. We went through all the processes that are required, as well as, so, you know, we had the notice, the hearing, you know, we mailed out 150 plus notices to everybody who's filed in the last 5 years. We had a hearing at which nobody appeared, and nobody submitted either via email or hard mail or any other way, you know, protest to this. One step we took before we actually took the step of filing the notice of hearing was we had a meeting with CAI and ALCAM. CAI is a Community Associations Institute. It's actually international, I think, but they have an Oregon chapter, and their membership are, you know, members of associations, board members in associations, and some other people. And ALCAM is the Community Associations Management, and their members are, you know, managers, those who are tasked with, you know, frequently condominiums have professional management. They hire them, you know, the board members, so pay them to come in and do it. In any event, so we had a meeting with them and other stakeholders, and just broke all this down, including the fee cost. And then if you saw the exhibits, I summarized, because I didn't have I wanted some way to memorialize for yourselves, like, the response that we got. So I summarized in the email and sent it back out to all the members of that working group saying, here is my understanding. You don't have an objection. You understand why we're doing this, and you understand that the timing's right. And I got not a single dissenting communication back. I had one person actually ask, well, why aren't you stepping this in over time and then figuring out how it impacts the agency's budget? And my response to that was, and it was dropped after this response, was we already did the work to figure out what it costs for an hour, so we know what it's going to do to the budget. So stepping it in is actually not meeting the commissioner's obligation, which is to recover the full cost of the program, that review and approval activity. So this amount does that.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator.
So the actual cost to the agency is $200 an hour. You've been charging 46. Who has been subsidizing the remainder?
Senator Monroe, co-chairs, it would have to be other people who pay fees to the agency. And during the period of time, during the economic boom, you know, there was sufficient money to cover all agency expenses, and this wasn't the highest priority. As I mentioned earlier, there were other things that were being dealt with, just changes in personnel, you know, getting programs up to speed. The energy was elsewhere, but we have been looking at this and evaluating things for, you know, we've been at this for over a year. This is the first thing you're going to see in the next session when we've had time to deal, you know, extensively with the other stakeholders regarding the other fees. You'll see, you know, the rest of this come through. So if...
Follow up.
Go ahead.
So, in fact, your other clients have been subsidizing these clients.
Co-chairs, Senator Monroe, I can't disagree with that statement.
Additional?
Please.
Most condominiums are usually in urban areas. Is that right? This would predominant of the work would be in urban, major urban areas. Is that right?
Co-chair, Senator Monroe, that is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, Representative.
So, destination resorts often have, like, running Y condominium component to them. Mm-hmm. Is that something you would look at, or is that part of the destination resort come, you know, there's a bunch of them in Bend, almost all of them have condos with them, and Klamath, you know, the Running Y resort. So when you develop these things, is that part of some other fee they pay, or do you work on the destination resorts? The coast, I would assume, is the same way.
Co-chairs, Representative Whitsitt, One that comes to mind is, I think Pronghorn is out that way. We do handle the condominium piece of that, and only that. If there's a timeshare element, the Land Development Division also handles timeshares, membership campgrounds, some other things. So if it has any additional components that comes within our jurisdiction, we would review those. But if it's a condominium, we just handle that portion of it.
Mr. Hanifin, were you finished with your presentation?
I am. I just request that this be approved, passed out of committee, and included in the 2016 ratification bill.
All right. Thank you so much. Committee, were there other questions? Right, I don't see any other questions. Ms. Deister, you have a recommendation for us?
I do indeed. Co-chairs, members of the committee, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends that the fee, that you ratify this fee that was increased administratively during the interim for the Oregon Real Estate Agency for condominium filing review, and that filing review fee of $200 be recommended for inclusion in the fee ratification bill.
Thank
Mr. Co-chair.
Yes, Senator.
I would move the LFO recommendation.
Thank you. Colleagues, you've heard the motion. Is there questions or discussion? Yes, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I don't like to look at a fee increase piecemeal. We're going to do some here. I understand we're going to do some later. This is, for me, too big of an increase at one time, and this could create, you were saying that you were in the process of putting out other fires. Well, this could actually create a big fire for me, so I'll be a no vote.
Thank you, Senator. Other comments or questions?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator.
I stepped out for a moment. I apologize if you covered this. Have you opined on this issue in your newsletter? Are you still doing that very extensive newsletter to your members or people that are regulated by the agency?
If I might, I'm going to confer with the Deputy Commissioner just to verify that. Okay. Co-Chair Johnson, yes, we have.
It might be helpful to have you, depending on what legislative action brings, opine on why this happens so that your membership, the people that are closest to the issue, have the opportunity to be fully informed about the rationale, the motivation, the outcome. I'm just thinking that to inform the industry, the profession might be helpful.
Co-Chair Johnson, are you referring to the real estate licensees generally?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just a thought. If there's a reason not to, don't. And I'm not conditioning a vote on you publicizing in your newsletter, but I just, that's a vehicle to communicate with the industry. And
understood.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Other comments or questions? Yes, Representative Whitsitt.
I concur with Senator Hansel. I would like to see what it is that you're going to bring to us all at once, because I have a sneaky feeling that perhaps we're just going to see all down the line. I don't really know, and it's so much that I would really like to see what your total package is instead of coming in here asking for this and then next week something else or whatever. So I just have to agree with him from the rural standpoint. An increase like that is just, it's really tough for us to go home and say that we agreed to it. So thank you.
Excuse me.
Thank you again, colleagues. Any other questions or comments? Are we ready to vote? Yes, Senator Monroe.
Oh, just briefly, the reason my line of questioning before strikes me that condominiums are primarily, not exclusively, primarily in urban areas. Your other clients are spread all over the state. If you're undercharging for condominiums by a 4-to-1 ratio, strikes me as that's a rural subsidy to urban areas.
All right, thank you. Are we ready to vote? I think in this case, I'm going to go ahead and have the clerk call the roll. Please. Thank you, Ms. Steele.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Hansel?
No.
Co-Chair Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Representative Whitsitt?
No.
Co-chair Gomberg?
Aye. And we might let Representative Nierman vote as well.
Yeah.
Representative Nierman?
No. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Well, we don't often call the roll in this committee, but I thought it was appropriate in this case. The motion carries. And Ms. Dyster, I understand we don't need a carrier for this at this time.
That is correct. This is one of several fees that you are likely to see in an omnibus ratification bill. So that will, when all of those are put together from the various subcommittees, it will come before full for a vote of the full Ways and Means Committee.
Very good. All right. Thank you, Mr. Hanifin.
Thank you.
Colleagues, anything else for the good of the order? I will state for the record, we have some darn fine condominiums on the Oregon coast.
Yes, of course.
And I'll go ahead and conclude this meeting.
Of course.
And I'll go ahead and conclude this meeting.